100 Word Stories.
Good morning, everyone. It's Sunday. That means here on the 100 Word Stories Weekly Challenge, I pick a topic, you come up with the stories. Hey, simple, really. The topic for today was journal. We got a whole lot of stories this week, so let's go ahead and get right to them. First up, it's Thomas.
I have a large, thick journal. I didn't write in it. I used it to prop up the end of a table I bought for the family room. It was just the right thickness and more attractive than a brick or block of scrap wood. The journal sat there, propping up the end of the tabletop until I removed it one day to clean and rearrange the room. I opened it and read a few words. This journal is the property of Edgar Poe. Please return if found. A modest fee will be your reward for its return. EAP. The ship's massive main journal screamed. The bearings had turned to dust, and the sound of the heavy engine indicated it was far too late to repair. The engineer shut the old diesel down, and our ship was left adrift until we could get a tow. Sparky radioed for help, and the captain calculated our drift based on the wind and currents. We drifted for a full day until a sea tug was sighted, hopefully to tow us to the nearest port. 30 Somalians were on deck, and they signaled that they were coming on board for our cargo. I read my daughter's journal to my regret. She wrote recently that she would like to give me a swift backhander right across my red, steaming face and thought that I was a Hitler-worshipping gypsy scum. Little Angela had a dark side, and little did I know a webcam was aimed at her dresser drawer where she kept her journal. My indiscretion was uploaded to her website and stored as a series of still images that she would access the next day. I was busted, and the photos were posted on Twitter, Facebook, and on her blog. My belief for journal writing follows the belief of my literary hero. Walter Benjamin wrote, "Ulle Design Linie. No day without a line." I vowed that I would write the minimum of one page a day in my journal. My muse would be roiled if I ignored my daily pledge. I didn't always have something to say, and I was too self-critical of my entries, just as I often was with my lovely and insatiable wife. I wrote about that too. I wrote about how I felt when I didn't have anything clever or profound to say.
Thank you, Thomas. Next up, it's our good old friend Jeffrey Fisher. That's right, he's back, and I think he's signing autographs. Just go ahead and get in line, right over there. I think I'll stand right over here, by the record machine. Anyone got a dime?
Hello, Jeffrey Fisher here with my entries for this week's weekly challenge on the subject of journal. And just say ahead of time that before anybody wonders about my mental state, even though both of these stories are in the first person, both of them are completely fictional. And with that, let's get to the stories. My first story is called Birthday. When I was a child, my father was always aloof around me, carrying out his paternal duties with competence, but not apparent affection. After he died, I took a week off to clean out his house. In the attic, I found a set of journals in his handwriting, dating from his teens to his early 30s. I spent every evening before bed perusing his old thoughts, trying to come to terms with our complicated relationship. Like many such journals, Dad started off with frequent, detailed entries about all manner of trivial things, and tapered off to the occasional entry of greater importance. His last entry was dated the day I was born. It read, "Should be a happy day for me, but instead all I see is a lifetime of obligation." My second story is called Therapy. My shrink told me I should keep a journal. Write down your thoughts, he said, and reflect on them. Every year, look over the previous year's entries to understand your mental space at the time. Anyway, pen and paper are a lot cheaper than an hour with me, he chuckled in that annoying way. So I did. I dutifully made notes every day about what I was doing, what I was thinking, what I was feeling. Truth be told, though, I'm having trouble staying motivated, especially about that year-end review. Well, especially after the computer in the spaceship told me the oxygen recycler was broken, and I have about 12 hours to live. But hey, it's therapy.
Thank you, Jeffrey. And we don't think you're crazy, because we're crazy. Speaking of crazy, it looks like Richard is getting all crazy on the topic here. Cool. I'm glad when these topics inspire all kinds of stories. Let's hear his stories.
Hi, everyone, and happy birthday to anyone who may be celebrating this week. It's Sunday again. Well, it's Tuesday, actually, but by the time you hear this, it'll be Sunday. Unless, of course, you don't listen on Sunday. Never mind. This week's prompt was journal, and I've got three stories. This is the first one. It's called Good Dog. He's getting on a bit now. Somewhat greyer and slower. But I wouldn't be without him. People ask why he's called Journal. Odd name for a dog, but it makes sense to me. I'm not one of those newfangled bloggers putting every trial and tribulation of my life into print. But Journal's been with me every step of my life. He's chewed up my achievements and gnawed my trophies. When I feed him my trash, he sometimes sicks it up. Other times, he devours it with relish. And every so often, I'll throw him a juicy morsel. Good dog. This is my second story. It's called Unicorns and Rainbows. I remember sneaking into my older sister's bedroom as a teenager, intent on prying into her personal life. So, when I discovered her secret journal under the bed, I was convinced I'd hit pay dirt. Seems I was mistaken. After thumbing through pages of girlish drivel, I was convinced that not only was my sister intensely boring, but for a girl her age, it was about time she grew up. It was only after her arrest I realised that her girly fairy dust and Barbie doll entries were actually detailed accounts of her extensive drug dealerships and lucrative prostitution rings. And finally, let's go and see what's happening with George. This one is called For the Record. Once George had recovered from his cat encounter, he couldn't help but wonder what other less savoury encounters he might have once he ventured outside the hospital walls. It occurred to him that he should chronicle his struggles in the hope that his experiences might some day have a greater purpose. He would write a journal, an inspirational account of survival against all the odds, his legacy and gift to the children of the future. Sadly, for the children of the future, George could find neither notebook or pen, so for now at least, the journal would just have to wait. That's all for this week. See you all next week. Goodbye.
Yes, we will see you next week when we have another topic, and you will do stories. Thank you, Richard. Next up, I can't remember which. Is it Army of Darkness or Army of the Damned? I don't know. Oh, well, Muncie will tell us. Muncie, I'm playing your tape now. I hope I don't flip it and get the reverse side, because I know that you like a lot of journey.
Greetings, my army of the damned. Munzee here, and by here I mean not here in any way. Sorry, that's my bad. I did not perform my story live this week, because as you listen to this, I'm at Calgary Expo meeting, among others, the casts of X-Files and Torchwood. You jelly? Yeah, you jelly. But that doesn't mean I didn't prepare a story. Here's a story. Entry, May 1st, by Christopher Monroe. We found a battered journal among the wreckage. It's our first lead to date as to what may have happened to the Sikh rescue team sent out mid-February in the aftermath of the initial incident. No survivors have been found to date, nor trace of the Sikh rescue team. I'm poring over the journal for potentially pertinent details, while the rest of the response crew combs through the wreckage of the research lab in the hopes that some clue might be uncovered. Personally, my hopes aren't high. Still, I'll give the journal a read. Entry, February 14th. We found a battered journal among the wreckage. And for the record, I have recorded another story for Journey Into this week. You guys follow that cast already, yeah? I figured. I now return you to your regularly scheduled podcast, Your Munzee Story Needs Fulfilled, that I might make it to the John Carpenter and Stan Lee autograph sessions before the lines get too long. Fun!
You know what would be really fun? Instead of the celebrities signing things that you bring them, you get handed a marker and you get to sign them. You know, you get to, although Stan Lee would be kind of creepy and wrinkly. I guess Carpenter would be too. Although if it were someone like, I don't know, I can't even think. I was going to say Angelina Jolie, but she's got tattoos everywhere. There'd be nowhere to sign. Okay, stupid idea. Thank you, Munzee, for that inspiring that dumb idea. Tura, they've got stories. Here, Tura.
My dear Dr. Brezoianu, I regret that the Journal of Neurosemantic Research must decline to publish your paper, Obstruction of Remote Mimetic Excitation by Aluminized Mimar Composites. It has been closely read by 3 referees, all experts in the field, who unanimously recommend rejection on the respective grounds that his results are absurd, well-known, or trivially obvious. Furthermore, I don't care for the over-familiar manner in which you approached my wife at the Oslo conference last year. With best wishes for your publication, but not in any journal I have anything to do with, Professor Dr. Yerokhnev Dzudeshkevich, Editor.
Brzezinu? Uh-oh. I've been saying that wrong all this time. Sorry, Tura. Oh, and thank you for the story. I've been saying it wrong all this time. At least I've been saying Zachman correctly, as in, here's Zachman's story.
Sue started writing a diary of her new work experiences and some of the unusual things that happen. Dear Diary, today I was training as a nurse's aide. The senior aide training me took me to answer a call. Oli, who had pulled the call string, said, "Hand me the urinal." My trainer said, "I sometimes have trouble with Mr. Erickson's accent. He subscribes to the Fergus Falls Journal. Oli, would you like to read the Fergus Journal?" Oli said, "No," pointing at a plastic container near the end of the bed. "I need the urinal. Quickly, I have to pee."
Thank you, Zach Mann. Making sure that I started that. Okay, that started in the right position. Sometimes I click a little weird and I end up talking over somebody and I have to drag and drop it and all that madness. Hey, I want to talk about something really cool. So I moved over to this MacBook Pro and I'm getting like all these updates in the corner. Update, update, update. And I've got ADM running for my Notifications. I don't run Trillium. It's a pain in the ass to configure for whatever. I've got the updates there, and it said, well, we've got this thing that's sort of like Growl. And I'm like, what's Growl? So I look at it, it's like, ooh, I can combine all my notices. So I get Growl, and I plug Adium into it. And then I plug Thunderbird into it, so I get email notices, because the Gmail one is kind of whacked. Then there's Firestorm for SL. That gives me all my notices. And I can freaking read them. Then there's, what else? What other? Oh, for my mail for work, those are up in the corner. And Skype, those, bing, you know, right up there. It's really cool. TweetDeck, although I've yet to make it work. So that's kind of cool. I like it. So I'm getting a little more comfortable with this, Mac thing. And I back up my files to an external drive, and then, you know, whoosh, back again. It's got a solid state in it, so it's like super fast. All right. Speaking of someone who's super fast, Lizzie, she comes up with the coolest stories, and on a daily basis, although she's been a little, you know, up to her neck in monkeys. I wasn't going to say up to her ass in alligators. That's monkeys. Here's Lizzie.
Hello, everyone. This week's story is called Wrapped in a Magic Spell. Alexander wrote her most private thoughts in her red and green leather journal. To make sure no one read it, she wrapped a magic spell around it. Most of her spells were quite benign, so her roommate decided to take a peek. The next day in class, in walks a red-skinned young woman with glowing green hair. Everyone laughed. Alexander didn't. She stood up and said, "Begin." Her roommate turned into a journal instantly, flapped her pages, and clumsily flew away, only to find, down by the forest, a collection of similar journals being pecked at by ill-tempered birds. This is my story for the week. Drop by my blog at lizziegoodcuff.blogspot.com. And talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Yay! Well, that's one way of copyright protection. Thank you, Lizzie. Next up, we have Tom. And, yes, he has updates. But we don't listen to the updates just to get to Tom, and I got that backwards. We don't just listen to Tom to get to the updates. I really ought to write these out. Ooh, there's a trash bag outside. I got to take the trash out. Well, it's out, but I've got to take it out to the dumpster. So, what do you want? Hello, little Tinny. Tinny is still such an allergic little beast. Her skin condition. So the vet said, like, oh, skin condition. So she has to get retested. And then they're probably going to give her all kinds of drugs that'll make her woozy and sick and an unhappy cat for the rest of her kitty life. Why can't you just stop itchings? Maybe we'll shave you. Completely shave all the kitty fur off of you. Then you won't be Tin Roof Swirl. You'll be Naked Kitty. So, alright. More? Alright. Here's Tom. And, yes, he has updates.
And I've got updates. Movement. Rick Thomas moves past Ted and Thomas Reed. Richard is a mere 6 stories from joining the Tribe of the 50. Bot Girl passes DJ with 32 stories, one behind Jay Rasmussen. Daphne moves ahead of our friend Houston Keys and a new kid himself, Chris, to occupy the 27th place, just behind Linda, in striking distance of the lair of the Golden Monkeys. And what's happening in the lair? Lizzie enters the top 20. Mr. Monroe is a mere 2 stories shy of passing our friend Leanna. He is well on his Army of the Dam way to gold and iron. The top 10 has a new glorious member, Master Singh, sending our friend Anima into the 11th place. We have a new number 6 monkey, Thomas, thus relegating the 7th place to our friend Guy David. The 4th monkey, Zachman, has gone double gold with 200 stories and has posted 88 weeks in a row. The second monkey has gone triple gold with an amazing run of 148 stories and 152 stories, respectively. Collectively, the top 10 has posted 2,000 stories. Story average still climbing at 15.15.
You know, there's nothing average about these stories. Oh, wait.
Hello, night people. Tom here. And tonight's story is called From the Journal of Joseph W. Walker, October 7th, 1849. I met a most peculiar man this evening exiting Patterson's Glove Shop on Lombard. He was propped against a lamppost inches away from the gutter. His voice, barely a whisper, seemed to be working through a delirium fancy, punctuated with clearly audible cries to his personal muse. Cassandra, he said, at once a declaration, yet at the same time a questioning lament. I asked him if he was in need of a doctor. Call me Mercutio, said he, handing me a folio, upon which, in the most delicate hand, the signature read, E. A. Poe.
Ah, that's what happened to him. Oh, well. Too bad. Thank you, Tom, for clearing up that mystery. But it's not my fault. I swear it's not my fault. I know whose fault it is. Serendipity. Yes, they killed Edgar Allan Poe. All right, Serendipity, fess up. Here's your opportunity.
Who, in their right mind, would want to read a psychopath's journal? Actually, it gained a huge following. And I suddenly found myself acclaimed best-selling author. It seems my readers had a huge thirst for intricate plots, liberally interspersed with graphic descriptions of murder and mutilation, all executed with a callous disregard for humanity, leaving only sorrow, pain, and bumbling ineffective detectives, always one step behind the killer they sought. The plaudits and hard cash came rolling in. Nevertheless, I was unhappy with the book's reception. It annoyed the hell out of me that they insisted on calling it fiction.
Hey, stop reading my journal. Thank you, Serendipity. Next up, speaking of psychopath journals... No, wait, that's the Wall Street Journal. Never mind. Okay, well, Cliff... Would you like a subscription?
My Week by Clifford Lowe. Day 1. Got my assignment. This one should be easy. Day 2. What was that assignment? Oh yeah, I got this one. Day 3. Day 4. Day 5. Wife reminded me, I have an assignment. Need an idea. What was that word? Day 6. Going to have to write my story tonight. Can't get distracted. Day 7. Get up early and sit down to type. No ideas. Search Wikipedia for inspiration. Latch on to an obscure idea and throw words onto the screen. Record my story and send the email. Send second email because I forgot to attach the recording.
No, you've never done that before. thank you, Cliff. What are you so scratchy for? Come here. Come here, kitten. Are you still a kitten? Yeah, you're still kind of gangly. Hi, I'm going to hug on you. What? You want to crawl all over me? Okay. She's not tiny kitten anymore. She's kind of gangly. And she's got pretty blue eyes. Yes, she does. And your tail's kind of like a whip. Yeah. You still got a kitten-looking tail. Yeah, you are. Oh, and you're going to crawl up on me? You're not sure? You're still kind of hesitant. Okay. Well, I'm going to pet the kitten. Yes, you're such a good kitten. Speaking of kittens, how about a story from Miata, who did not record their story? You want to record? No, Tinny. Tinny's giving me the cold shoulder. Okay, I'll read it for you. I sat at my table looking out my window. It is a beautiful view, the pinks of the azaleas, the white dagwoods, green grass, and the blue stream. There is no better place to write than this. Well, maybe at the beach. As I look out over the serenity of it all, I'm reminded that my life is so opposite. I love a man. I know he thinks I'm a stalker, love unrequited, but he consumes my thoughts daily. I'm getting better, no contact, but only thoughts. It is hard, and my fault. I will love and live again. And that is why people should record their own stories. Thank you, Miata. See, you could have gotten the feeling and the sentiment in there. I just emotionless. Speaking of someone with emotion, though, sing. That's right. Here comes the sing-a-thon. Woo-hoo-hoo. Okay, looking down. And ooh, this one's going to be a good one.
The Mailman Journal by Chris Mooney-Singh. Journal. I am recording this, mailman. Since the shutdown, other channels have closed. I only have this chair, a pedestal keyboard and screen in the wall. It blinks on randomly with a new daily word like a carrot. I am your donkey. Are you pulling me by the golden chain of language, mailman? To where? I write to keep the will to live flickering like a firefly's shadow on the screen of my own parochial consciousness. Why am I here? Isn't that the question worth asking? I think. I tap. After 100 words, the screen blinks off. Not one more. Burn. I remember, mailman, how the Zen master took a wooden image, chopped it up, and made a fire, warming himself. Seeing this, one of the other monks asked, "What are you doing setting fire to the Buddha?" The master replied, "Where's Buddha?" Before the shutdown, we said, "Religion? It's poison." We also wanted to burn the Buddha. That monk was wooden and stuck, just as we were. Anti-form. So, someone shut us down, obliterated us, but that didn't end our attachment. See beyond existence and non-existence, mailman, and make a Buddha of gold out of garbage scraps appearing and whistle. Dear mailman, Do you think I need the future? What use is it when I can reach into memory and pluck out the wind whistling against my old garage? It still rattles the roller door. It still speaks to me with a taunting sense of its endlessness, beating against my puny shelter like a house of straw. Are you telling me to whistle Dixie with folded gum leaf or some other cute tune, as if it were a new creed to place trust in? I do not need to believe, because the old wind still blows right through my bones. Pizza. Fortunately, there is tinned food. A small mountain in the corner. That's my pizza. I have water from underground. It seeps and I lick it up. Rocks glow in the cavern's ceiling. How long before I am plunged into the full dark? I am adjusting, finding my way, practicing on all fours with eyes bound. I must. I do not trust the light. These rocks are emitting a little less. A little less. As for this screen and your Daily Mail, I can only place trust in my own process, not what prompts you try to steer me with, foolish mailman. Escape. Are you provoking me? Squinting my eyes. Yes, I see an empty canoe waiting on the shore. A motorbike ready with a key in the ignition. The word escape is meant to throw up a goldfish leaping out of its bowl. Mailman, you think I'm your mouse on the treadmill, the passenger in your car about to plummet, the hand over my mouth stopping me from uttering the name of the one who caused the shutdown? Do you think your daily morsel of words can handcuff me? Mailman, you're taunting me when such escape is irrelevant. Mailman. Let's get to the point, Agent Provocateur. You deliver, I respond, you set agendas, I reject. The shutdown was my good fortune. Time is a coat on the hook. Whether you are male or female is my fiction. Oh, bird-like flutter in my biological heart, I understand everything. Your prompts make me believe in neither the wooden Buddha, chopped and burning, nor the golden Buddha, 16 feet high. You're not out, you're in. I am your mailman. You only exist to receive these 100 intentions. Knowing this today, I add one to the golden chain. It's my gift. The extra factor.
Thank you, Singh.
Oh, I'm going to have to go back and listen to that one. Wow. Ooh, it's just, yeah. Whew. It's just like a marathon. Except no, you know, no pressure cookers. No, I'm not going to get hate mail for that. I don't get hate mail for these. It's been a long time since I've gotten hate mail. Ooh! You can put hate mail up in the comments. No, that won't be happening. Notice how I haven't mentioned a certain thing? Huh? What? I gotta mention it so that you know I didn't mention it? Well, then forget about it. Instead, let's listen to Norval Joe and something about wiener dogs.
Hello, this is Philip Norval Joe Carroll of the Flying Island Press and the master of Macabre and The Price of Friendship and all this other kind of crap. And this is my entry for the weekly challenge, number 366, with a prompt of journal. Here are two stories. Flirty tapped his voice recorder and said, "New page, journal entry number 1685, Professor Flirty Flamburn in command. Day 4 on the planet O'Gilliham. My pilot and traveling companion, Boral Torque Spindle, while availing himself of an opportunity to vegetate, found himself surrounded suddenly by countless Amazon warriors. The women's lithe frames and bare buxom breasts belied their deadly prowess. Sweat trickled down his temples as the women crept slowly toward him. Boral cleared his throat. "Flirty? Don't interrupt me. I'm recording." "Right," Boral said. Boral held his breath as the razor edge of a spear hovered above his throat. All right. Sitting in a jail cell, Durgle sighed and thought, "Some superhero I turned out to be. Wiener dog man? More like big stupid loser man." Someone in a cell down the hall yelled. He sounded Latino. "Guard, my journal no is working." "Keep it down," the guard shouted back. "How's this fair?" Durgle mumbled, looking around the empty cell. "They didn't let me keep anything, and he has a journal to write in." The man shouted again. "I'm telling you, I need to use the journal. If you no fix it, I'm going to piss on the floor." Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Thank you, Norval Joe. What else am I supposed to say? Thank you, Norval Joe. That's the line. Oh, wait. Okay, laser dot. One thing that Tinny loves is the laser dot. I put some fresh batteries in it. There, go. Go chase it. Up the chair. And down the chair. And along the floor. And stare. And go in giddy circles. Go in giddy circles. And get all dizzy. Now go after the bag. And jump up on there. And it's off. And then she gets all like, "Huh? Where'd he go? Where'd he go? Where'd he go?" And she goes searching for it. Poor little tortured kitten. Next up, it's Justin, and he recorded it himself. Yay, that means I don't have to record it. Yay, because I'm lazy as hell. Yay, I'm just going to drag and drop things all day and then babble for a bit. Yay. Okay, here it is.
Near Space Turtle, Justin Lemester here from thespaceturtle.com. Game this week is Metro 2033, which is based on a novel by journalist and author Dmitry Glushkovsky. It's a post-apocalyptic world where in Russia everyone's living in the metro system because the surface is ruined. And I realized after I wrote this, there's nothing to do with the journal in the story, but he carries a journal with him in the game, so that counts. Artyom gazed at the sky. Condensation from his heavy breathing obscured the gas mask lenses, but he still saw the demon flit across the sky, its wings beating against the poison air. Artyom sprinted across the roof, leapt over a tripwire, and landed hard on the unstable floorboards, leg nearly pushing through. The demon crashed above and peered into the room. Artyom rolled through a doorway and pointed his pistol, firing at the wired explosives. In a blast of splinter and stone, the demon tumbled into the air, where it flew away on tattered wing, dripping black blood onto the snow.
You see, he does that so much better than me. I don't know why anyone would ever have me record their stories for them. I don't. I offer to, but come on, your voice can't be that bad. I mean, even Linda, who says that her voice, she was complaining in Twitter the other day. Nope, her voice will be fine. Even if it's like, so fine, you're right to your strength, or make your weaknesses a strength. That's what I always say. No, I don't. I say stupid things like, hey, oh, thank you, and, hey, coming around the corner and coming right up. Whatever. Danny? Okay. Danny's got a story. That's right. Let me play it for you.
Hello, hello! Danny Dwyer here with Weekly Challenge 366 Journal. So let's get this story on the road. Charles Manson started writing a journal after being incarcerated for his crimes. Way too delusional to admit his guilt, he kept writing, convinced his journal was a novel. Because he has no right to privacy in prison, his journal is read to the parole board every time he's up for parole in the California prison system. At every parole hearing, Charles screams how fixed the system is. Then, the parole board simply reads back his own journal entries and properly denies parole. Charlie, babyface, why don't you know when to drink a cup of shut the fuck up?
Always saving the best for last. Thank you, Danny. That's a good one, man. As we all move on to new chapters in our lives, how about we open up the next page and the Journal of Planet Z and see what he's got up his sleeve. Is he even wearing sleeves or shirts or pants? I don't know. I'm not from Planet Z. I don't know what things are like there. Maybe we could have Planet Z as a... No. We don't need to know about planets. That's what NASA is for. They search out new life. Bold... No, that's Star Trek. Never mind. Let's just play his damn story.
For 100 years, Middleton was a two-paper town. The Middleton Journal and the Middleton Chronicle competed for stories, subscribers, and advertisers. The quality of both papers was exceptional. One day, the owners of the Journal and the Chronicle met to negotiate a merger. They tossed a coin. It came up tails, and the staff of the Middleton Journal emptied their desks into cardboard boxes as the Middleton Chronicle Journal began its run. The journalism got lazier and sloppier. Many subscribers of both papers canceled, and advertising rates skyrocketed. Sure, I read it when I steal it off my neighbor's porch.
Thank you, Planet Z. Yeah, I know you rarely hear me say that. The reason is, Red Goddess got her story in a little late, and, well, we gotta find out how Lola's doing, right? So, here we go. Lola reads all kinds of tabloid magazines while at work. The hotel subscribes to the top 5 fashion magazines and newspapers. The guests steal them like the little shampoo bottles in the bathrooms. She's repulsed by the tasteless covers, yet intrigued by the articles that show 769 ways to please a man. She wonders if these magazines hold the answers to women's satisfaction, why the majority of their readers are still hopelessly lost. Are there magazines that offer men better advice for a better sex life? Recently, Lola learned that the Good Housekeeping Journal is the most reliable source of information for all women, regardless of marital status or income. It occurs to her that women spend as much time worrying about keeping a clean house as they do about pleasing a man. With that kind of obsession, these magazines hold the mirror to women's angst for generations. Thank you, Red Goddess. Although, if I'm going to hold up a mirror, it's going to be to Fog, so that I can prove I'm still alive. No, no, don't put me in the ground. I want it to be cremated. That kind of thing. Oh, right. Oh, podcast's over. Thank you to everyone who is a part of the Weekly Challenge this week on the 100 Word Stories Podcast Weekly Challenge. The topic was journal, if you couldn't figure that out by now. You want to know what the next topic's going to be? I'm drawing a blank. Let me think. What do I do? My mind's a total blank. Blank. So go ahead, get writing, get recording, get going. In the meantime, if you need inspiration, go to the site, listen to some old weekly challenges, a few stories here and there, click on some links. There are no advertisements. Hey, don't need any. Oh, right. And thank you to everyone, and as always, keep it brief.